Psalm 65. Praise is awaiting you, O God, Zion. And to you the vows shall be paid. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me. And as for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. Let's ask God's blessing again tonight as we listen to his word. Dear Father in heaven, we pray that you'll do a great and powerful work here tonight. And Lord, do it in my heart first, and do it in our hearts together. And Lord God, we are praying that you will work sovereignly here and take your word and encourage the hearts of your people and enlarge their thinking so that grace will truly be grace and mercy, truly mercy. We pray, Father, that we will understand tonight in a better way, in a clearer way, the incredible freedom that we have to worship you in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we call up to you tonight. Help us along tonight in this endeavor. And bless us, we pray, and do all of that we ask for the glory and the sake of Jesus Christ. And we pray this together in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to begin tonight by asking a question. The question is this: how do we get here tonight? How do we get here tonight? I don't mean what streets did you take to come here, or what vehicle you used, or even how you heard about our church. I'm asking a deeper question, and it's this: how did we wind up worshiping God? How did that happen? The Spirit led us. Amen on that. You know, you think about it, it's actually quite astounding that we're here tonight, because you look around the city and there are a lot of people tonight who are not worshiping God. Isn't that true? And you know, of all of the 6 million or so who aren't worshiping, it's amazing that we're here doing this thing called worship. That's amazing. It's also amazing when you consider the amount of things that would keep us from worshiping Him. You know, there are so many things that we could be doing, right? So many things that people are doing that aren't worship. And it's amazing. It's astounding that we're actually here worshiping the Lord. I mean, it's an amazing thing. It is. I think the psalmist felt that way about the worship of God. Because there he is in Psalm 65. He's talking about dwelling in the courts of God, that place where God met with his people, that place called the meeting place, where God would come and meet with his people, and where he would receive their praises and they would be strengthened and energized. And it was a place where the psalmist just loved to be. Loved it. And it's a place where we're told one could be satisfied with the goodness of his house. What does that mean? Well, I think Jeremiah maybe defines that in chapter 31, verse 14. I will satiate, this is what Jeremiah the prophet says, I will satiate the souls, God speaking, I will satiate the souls of the priests with abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord. And so the goodness that the psalmist is speaking of, the goodness of his house, I think, is the goodness of God. And it's this experience that the psalmist wants, that the psalmist desires. He wants to dwell in the courts of God and to be satisfied with the goodness of his house, with God himself. He wants to enjoy God and he wants to worship God. That's what he wants. That's the big aim of the psalmist here in Psalm 65. Do you ever find that to be your experience? Where this is what you want to do. You want to dwell in the courts of God. You want to be with God. You want to delight yourself in Him. You want to know His goodness. And this is what you want. That's what the psalmist wants. The question that I've asked you this evening, and I ask again tonight now, is how do we wind up in this place? How do we wind up worshiping God? How do we wind up dwelling in His courts and being satisfied with the abundance of His house, of His holy temple? How do we wind up doing this? I think in our less than honest moments, we would have to say, or we do say at least, that, well, I've always done this. I've always worshipped God. From the time I was a little kid, I've worshipped God. Or the reason why I made it to church tonight or this morning was because I set my alarm clock. Or I just love to worship God. Or I couldn't think of another thing I'd rather do than worship God. The fact of the matter is, friends, that this is not why we wound up here this evening worshiping God. The reason why we wound up worshiping God tonight, and really any time, is found at the beginning of verse 4. One word. What is that word? What does your Bible say? Blessed. Blessed. You know what that word means? It means to be in a position, in a relationship of favor with God. Where God's grace is upon you, where His mercy is upon you, where you are loved, where you are deeply loved, where you are accepted. Blessed, the psalmist says. And that is our condition. That's our position before God in Jesus Christ. We are blessed. Our relationship is one of favor with God. And that is why, that's how we wound up worshiping God tonight. We come to Him in the context of His blessedness, of His favor. And what the psalmist goes on to do here in verse 4 is to give us a couple elements of that blessedness, that favor. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. And we're going to focus on it because I believe that when we understand this blessedness and really the two elements of it, when we keep that in our minds and in the forefront of our thinking, then we begin to be free in our worship. You see, here's the problem. So often we think that when we come to God's worship, we have to do something. We've got to work ourselves up, that we've got to get ourselves ready. And I'm not saying that we don't have a part here, but it's amazing how much prep work God puts into His own worship. And we're going to see exactly what God does and how freeing that reality should be in our thinking. The first thing we're seeing tonight is this. God chose you to worship Him. God chose you to worship Him. When the psalmist says, blessed is the man, this defines what that blessedness is. God chose you to worship Him. Underline that word, chose. Blessed is the man whom you chose that he might dwell in your courts and be satisfied with the goodness of your house. How do you wind up worshiping God? How do you wind up worshiping God? He chose you to worship Him. Okay? It says right there, blessed is the man you choose that he may dwell in your courts, be satisfied with the goodness of His house, the holy temple. Do you see that? We worship Him because He chose us to worship Him. And you say, well, when did God do that? And the answer is, from eternity. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 1 verse 4. Ephesians 1 verse 4. And Paul says this. He says, He chose us in Him, that's Christ, before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and without blame. When did God choose you? When did God choose you? He chose you in Jesus Christ before the world was framed, before it was made. That's a long time ago, right, children? Long time ago. That's a few hundred years back, isn't it? That's a long time ago. That's when God chose His people in Jesus Christ before the world was made, right? The question is, well, why did He do that? Why did God choose you before the foundation of the world? For His good pleasure. Did you hear that? Here's why God didn't choose you. Okay? God did not look out from eternity and see you one day making a decision for Jesus Christ and then on the basis of that say, okay, I choose you. All right? That is utter heresy, and it's something else, but I won't tell you what that is. But that's what it is. It's just not true. There's no way that God looked out from all eternity and saw us making a decision for Jesus Christ, then on the basis of that, choose us. Nowhere in the Bible is anything like that taught. In fact, if that's true, then the whole idea of God disappears. God is not dependent on us for anything. What the Bible teaches is this. The reason why God chose us, and here it is, it's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. He did it for His own good pleasure. Not because of anything He saw in us. No, He did it for His own good pleasure. He did it because He wanted to, right? That's why God chose us to worship Him. Because He wanted to. Because He wanted to. Deuteronomy 7:7. Here's why we're told God chose Israel. It was because they were such a big and mighty nation, so full of good-looking and handsome. No, that wasn't it. Why did He choose them? He says, the Lord did not set His love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than other people, for you were the least of all peoples, but because the Lord loves you. That's why He chose Israel to be His people. Just because He loved them. Just because He wanted to do this. Not because of anything within them. He did it because He wanted to. Right? 1 John 4:19. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. We love because He first loved us. And when did He love you? He's loved you from all eternity. That's right. And God has loved you from all eternity. And He's chosen you from all eternity in Jesus Christ for the purpose of worshiping His name. And friends, nothing that you did prompted God to choose you. Nothing. Remember back in Romans chapter 9, we were told that there were two children in the womb, Jacob and Esau. And remember when God chose Jacob? It was in the womb, wasn't it? It says before he had a chance to do good or evil, God chose Jacob for salvation. As it's written, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. You see, God's decision to love us, to choose us, and to choose us for worship was made a long time ago, friends. A long time ago, even as far back as eternity. Can you imagine that? And why? Not because of anything you did or would do, but because He chose to. Because it pleased Him to do that. He chose you to worship Him. That's right. And here's why I think that's so encouraging. Because sometimes when we come to the worship of God, we think to ourselves, I have no business being here. And I feel a little bit out of place. Do you ever get that feeling? Do you? You know, I mean, how can I appear before a holy God as a sinner like I am, and I really feel out of place here. I don't feel like this is my place to be here. I'm not my business. Friends, get this. Understand this. That Psalm 65 says that God chose you for the purpose of worshiping His name. And that means this, that if God's desire was to choose you to worship His name, then it is your business to be in the worship of God. And God wants you to be in His worship. How many of you this past week heard about the nut bar who decided to jump on the rink during the Montreal Canadian practice? Did you hear about that? What was this guy thinking? He was in the stands. He had full gear on. He hopped over the boards. He caught a puck. He went in and he, I think, missed the net first time. He took a limp wrist shot the second, easily gloved and steered aside, and was escorted to the side by the coach. And you want to know why he was escorted to the side? What's that? He didn't belong to the team. That's right. He had no business on the rink. Now get this. If one of the Canadians had failed to show up for practice, that would have been a problem. You want to know why? Because they were chosen. They were selected to be on that team. They belong there. And you belong in the worship of God. God has chosen you to be here. And you must never, ever think otherwise. You're just living out God's purpose for you in this life. He chose you that you might dwell in His courts and come before Him to be satisfied with the goodness of His house. You got to bear that in mind. Just let that thought come to your mind as you come near to the house, to the presence of God. And let that just encourage you and stir you up to meet with your God. Hey, He chose you in Jesus Christ for this. And you're to be here. You belong here. This is right and good for you to worship the Lord our God. And so He chose you to worship Him. But then there's a second element of this favor, of this blessedness that we see here. It's this, that God causes you to worship Him. God causes you to worship Him. Blessed is the man whom you choose and cause to approach you. I hope that's what your translation reads. Something like that. Because the force of the Hebrew is really clear. It's causative. Does your translation say that God causes you? Well, that's a good translation. If it doesn't say that, you've got a bad translation in that spot. It should have that force. God causes us to dwell and to go and approach God. In other words, get this, worship begins with whom? Begins with God. That impulse, that desire that you have to draw near to Him, to be with Him, to worship Him, that begins with God. Our worship begins with God. It is God who causes us to want to worship Him. In fact, let me just go and say this, that desire to worship Him is evidence of His grace and favor working in your life. John Calvin said that it's a testimony, an evidence of our adoption that we desire to go to the sanctuary. Do you have that desire to worship God? Do you? Where'd that come from? That's not from you, sorry. That's from the leading of the Holy Spirit, which is evidence, proof, fruit of your adoption. Isn't that great? That's wonderful. That should encourage you. Whenever you get that desire to say, oh, you know what? Hey, God, You're working in my heart. You're working in my life. Because I know that if You didn't, I wouldn't be doing this. I would have no desire to be here in Your presence. So thank You very much for that. God causes His people to worship Him. Do I need to persuade you of that this evening? I mean, come on, let's look at our lives. Let's look at our devotional lives. Let's look at our family worship, our personal worship, our spousal worship. And let's look at the way that we are so sluggish and sluggardly and so dull and listless oftentimes when it comes to the worship of God. I mean, come on. If there's any desire to worship God, where is that coming from? That's coming from God, isn't it? And I hope you begin to see how exciting this is then. This is not all about what we muster up and what we have got to do. Hey, listen, God's doing something great here. God's doing a lot of prep work to get us into the worship of God. He's choosing us, and He's causing us to worship His name. John 6:44, Jesus says this, that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I know that that passage contextually is talking about our salvation. But I want to ask you this. Don't you think it also applies to the worship of God? That nobody can come to the Father unless he is drawn by the Son. You've got to believe that is so. You've got to believe that. And that is precisely what God does. He draws us. He causes us to approach Him in worship. Now, notice I didn't say God forces you. I didn't say that. The psalmist doesn't say that. He doesn't say force. He says cause. There's a big difference. You know, each of you tonight have a free will. You know what a will is? A will is that faculty of choice, where you choose according to your desires. Jonathan Edwards says that, in fact, we choose according to the strongest inclinations at the moment. You believe that? You chose to come here this evening because that was the strongest inclination. Everything that you do, every decision that you make, everywhere your will goes, you choose according to the strongest inclinations of that particular moment. What God does is this. He doesn't bend or break our will. He doesn't force our will to go here or there. What He does instead is He works in our hearts. He gives us a new heart, and then He works on that heart and gives us a desire so that we choose freely to do what He wants. And so when it comes to worship of God, He's not forcing us to worship Him. What He does is He opens up our hearts. And rather than choosing what so many people are doing in this world, what He does is He gives us that heart that longs to meet with Him and to worship Him and to praise His name. That's what He does. And it's great. And it's wonderful. And it's fantastic. Psalm 27. The psalmist says this. In verse 8, when you said, "Seek my face," my heart said to you, "Your face, Lord, I will seek." See, there's the initiative and there's the response. God's saying, "Seek my face." And we say, "Lord, your face, I will seek." Initiative and response. What's my point tonight? My point is simply this. I think that there's such a danger of trying to fabricate something, of trying to muster something up to generate, to create something when it comes to the worship of God. We feel like we've got to try to get into a worship zone, if you know what I'm talking about. We fail to remember that, listen, God is actually at work in our lives. He's doing something great. And He's been at work for a long time. The thoughts have actually been on His mind from all eternity. And it's this, that God chose you to worship Him. That's been His plan from all eternity. More than that, He is causing us every day to draw near to Him and to worship and praise Him. And that's encouraging, friends, because you see, it's not all one-sided. God's doing a great work. And I know you say to me, well, what's my part in all of this? What part do I have to play in the worship of God? I see that God chooses me. I understand that God causes me to worship. But what do I do? I think you understand that you're called to pray. to read your Bibles and to put yourself in the path of the means of grace to stir up desire. But you've got to understand this, that any desire you have to pray and to read your Bible, it's all of God Himself. And that's wonderful too. What am I doing here tonight? What am I talking about? What am I hoping to achieve with you? I'm trying to dismantle, on the one hand, that artificial and fleshly desire we have to stir something up called worship. And on the other hand, I want to impress upon you all that God is doing for us already in Jesus Christ. And I want you to be conscious of that when you come to the worship of God. I want you to know that God is working for you and through you. Because I believe that by thinking those great thoughts and by understanding the psalmist here when he says, "Blessed is the man whom you choose and cause to approach you," that your hearts will be liberated and worship will be given to him freely and to his glory. And I believe that. May that be our prayer here tonight, that our worship would reflect that kind of knowledge and awareness of all that God is doing for us in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, Father, just impress this truth upon the hearts of your people tonight. And, Lord God, we pray that we would just be given the grace to let you be God in our hearts and in our worship. Father, we spend so much time trying. We spend so much time laboring. And we forget that you're involved. And tonight, Father, we have been given the opportunity to see what you're doing and how you're helping us to experience the greatest thing we can ever experience, the worship of God. And thank you, our Father. Thank you, our Father, for letting us dwell in your courts and for letting us delight ourselves in your abundance. And Father, thank you that you do this, that you choose us for this, that you cause us to do this. And Father, when we stop and consider that, we find that we're able to actually rest and breathe a deep sigh of relief. And to stop striving and to stop trying, to stop, Father, what is impossible with man, but with you all things are possible. And so, Lord, make us aware of these things, how we need to think bigger thoughts of you, how we need to stop thinking and focusing on ourselves. Remember, Father, that your glory is so great that you'll see to it that we understand it and rejoice in it. And thank you, Father, for doing that. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.